from 1290. Stay tuned.
Good afternoon and welcome to another edition of AHA Presents About Education. I'm Neil Kreisel, and I'm your host every week right here on AM 1290, repeated at 10, and on Saturdays at 4. We're brought to you by Montecito Bank and Trust, proudly serving our communities and their financial needs for over 40 years. Paolo Fon Wendy Foster, offering fine clothes, good food, and vintage wines. CSU Channel Islands, no matter which of their academic programs you choose, you will be at the center of your educational experience. And Sansum Clinic, whose multi-specialty team of medical professionals have been providing quality care to you and your family for 99 years. And today we have Deborah Levinson, who is a John Hopkins-trained psychotherapist and clinical social worker. And among other things, Deborah has written several books about spousal death, and it, given what has happened in L.A. this week, we think that this is a very timely conversation. But before we get into that, Deborah, first of all, hello. Thank you for being here.
Welcome. Thank you.
So before we get into that really interesting and timely subject, you have spent many years in working with women. And in fact, you have a women's group in town.
Yes.
And what is that? I guess I can't join. This is.
Well, I'd have to ask them. I'm not sure they would encourage you to be a part of it. The women's group really started. It's a volunteer project on my part, and it started through the temple, Congregation B'nai B'rith, where I offered the opportunity for women to come together to learn more about how they form their identity. And it was basically a psychoeducation program. It is not a therapy program. And the women have continued, a core group of the women, seven, have continued this year. And we meet once a month at different people's homes, and we talk about topics of interest to them. So that, for example, 2 months ago, we talked about our parents and what was special about the families we grew up in. And this past time, we talked about family secrets and how they've impacted us. So we do a lot of family-oriented subjects to help us understand how we've become who we are. But basically, the basis for my doing this has to do with where the research came from.
What I find really surprising is that even the most boring families like my own have secrets. It took me years to find out that everybody has secrets.
Everybody has secrets.
So one of the things that I didn't know until we did some research on you is that women form their identity differently than men do.
Yes.
And I always thought it was environmental. And you're basically saying that it's biological.
It's definitely biological. And this is really a charming story of how this came about. I did the research, and I did a qualitative study of women and over a period of time who had become widowed. And I found out things I never expected to find out. Basically, your spouse is your anchor, the stabilizing force around whom you organize your world. The quality of the relationship is actually quite separate and distinct from the anchoring quality of the relationship, which allowed me to understand why women who are abused can stay in a relationship much longer than they should, because they literally can't separate from that anchoring quality of the relationship. But the way women form their identity is very different from men. Men basically form their identity, to answer your question, men form their identity through their work and identify themselves by the work they do. Under normal circumstances, there are always exceptions. Women, however, through the research of Ruth Ellen Josselson and others, have illustrated that they form their identity through their relationships, and that becomes very significant when you lose a spouse.
And it's funny you say that women use their husband or their significant other as an anchor. My wife is away this week, and people don't know how I'm going to be able to eat. So men become very dependent in a lot of ways on women.
But that's learned behavior, yeah. And that's one. What interested me in the clinical research that I did is that there really was a principle of physics involved in the anchoring quality, and it goes back to a man named Butts. And it has to do with a real connection to that spousal anchor. Well, now, of course, your dogs would also be very good anchors for you while your wife is gone.
Well, you know, what I think is really interesting about this discussion about how men behave and women behave is when it relates to their job, I found that most men in this community who are retired, or many men in this community who are retired, have really had a tough time retiring because they're anchored to their job, and all of a sudden, they're just a person.
Right.
And they haven't developed that inner sense of who they are. It's what they were. And it become a real problem. Retiring used to be a question of can you fish or can you golf? But the more people become more, in touch with their real feelings, it's really more than just a hobby. It's about how they view themselves.
There's no question, and what you're saying is true. I find that men are really struggling with what to do in retirement. However, I will suggest that women who multitask, who are used to having careers, and this is the first real major generation of women who have had careers who are retiring, are also having a very difficult time, which I'm seeing in my women's group, figuring out what to do with themselves when they're not as productive as they used to be in their own image of their work environment. And as they get older, they still want to be productive and still want to have those same experiences, but they're not sure how to redefine them or reframe them or go out and redevelop them.
So just to clarify, when we say earlier on that women look at their husband as an anchor, what about women that either don't have a husband or women who are lesbians? How does that change the way they see themselves and the way they define who they are?
An anchor must be a living thing. It doesn't have to be a man or a woman. It can be a dog. It can be any animal, as well as a woman can have who doesn't have any spouse. They can have a parent as an anchor. They can have an adult child as an anchor, and they can also have a good friend as an anchor.
But you said that an anchor for a man is his job. That's not a thing. That's a thing, not a person.
Right.
So a man does not have to have a person.
Right.
Okay. So we're really different.
Right.
Very good observation. This is
biologically.
There's a news bulletin. We're very different.
Like you just found that out.
Yeah. When you do your research, are you able to use these groups as part of your research, or is this sort of just a private, nice thing to do? Can you actually take information from these groups and do it to write articles or write a book?
Sure. I may have to disguise the people, and I would never divulge personal information without permission, and you have to have certain kinds of permission, but I can disguise the people. Basically, Neil, this is a really sweet story as to how it started, and I was widowed myself in 1991, and my neighbor across the street said, "Okay, Debbie," and she was 20, 30 years older than me. "So how do you do this?" I said, "How do you do what?" And she said, "You know, this adjustment thing. How do you become a widow?" And so it was an interesting question. And when I was in graduate school later on to get my social work degree, I had three other degrees, I started a study. It was an independent study, and it was qualitative research of 15 young widows there where I interviewed them over the phone and asked them how their process of adjustment went. And from that, I looked at the data and evolved a model, a three-stage model for the process of adjustment after major loss.
And is that relevant to divorce as well?
Yes, but differently. In divorce, you have a paradoxical contradiction. You are divorced from your spouse, but you're still parents to the children, so it creates lots of complications. But it is applicable to any relationship, even if you're not married.
And as far as you know, if a man loses his wife, do they go through the same type of issues?
A man losing his wife, what I have found with men, and in the research that I've done, meeting with a man in San Francisco who wrote a book, Doors Open, Doors Close, what I found is that men do experience the loss very much, and they usually count on their wives for social connections. However, men frequently reconnect with a woman much more quickly than women do, and there's a very important biological reason for that.
Yeah, they can't cook.
Right.
You're
no, they get lots of briskets delivered into today's world.
Right. For those people not from New York, can we define brisket?
But,
you're listening to AHA Presents About Education on AM 1290 KZSB, and we'll be right back.
You're invited to dine indoors or on the secluded garden patio, the sunny patio, or the covered creekside patio with fireplace at Pierre Lafond's Montecito Wine Bistro, where you'll enjoy the popular pizzas and many other dishes from the wood-burning oven, daily specials from Chef Victor, and selections from the elevated wine menu featuring Lafond and Santa Barbara Winery wines. Open daily at 11 for lunch, wine, cocktails, dinner, incredible desserts, and a daily happy hour from 3 to 6 with very unique appetizers in the Plaza del Sol, Montecito Village.
What's that?
This? The newest online business banking around.
Can you initiate wires and approve transfers?
Yes.
Pay bills?
Check.
Cash management?
Of course.
All business, all online, all on your phone.
You bet. My computer, too. It's Montecito Bank and Trust's new business online banking. It works as hard as I do.
Huh. Montecito Bank and Trust.
You got it. Montecito Bank and Trust. Behind every great community is a great bank. Montecito.bank. Member FDIC.
Sansom Clinic. We're there at the beginning.
And all the little and big steps along the way.
200 physicians for your every need.
A healthcare system where all profits go back into our community's health.
Your health.
Your doctors.
Your healthcare system. Your health.
Your doctors.
Your healthcare system.
Sansom Clinic. Good for you.
Santa Barbara residents interested in a four-year degree have more than one choice. CSU Channel Islands is a four-year accredited university offering more than 30 academic programs that are interdisciplinary, multicultural, and centered on you, the student. Your professors are accessible mentors who go above and beyond to help you pursue an undergraduate or graduate degree or certificate to advance your career. Programs and workshops in classroom, online, with campuses in Thousand Oaks and Goleta. Call CSU Channel Islands at 805-437-8520 or online at csuci.edu.
Welcome back to AHA Presents About Education. AHA, using innovative social-emotional learning and character building to help teens. I'm Neil Kreisel, and we're here today with Deborah Levinson, a psychotherapist, clinical social worker, and an author who has written three books dealing with the death of a spouse. And given what has happened, the tragedy last Sunday, where Kobe Bryant has left a wife and three kids, we thought that given Deborah's expertise, this would be a very timely discussion. So you mentioned briefly before that the beginning of this research came from personal experience.
Yes.
And that motivated you to study the problem.
Yes.
Well, the issue, not the problem.
Well, it motivated me because the books that I was reading didn't seem to ring true because of the history. Basically, the original theories were you mourn and then move forward, and basically that's not what happens at all. And my research helped me to understand that loss of a spouse is basically a PTSD, post-traumatic stress issue, and it had never been defined that way. And at the same time, there were other researchers doing research at Yale who also were defining it that way. So the literature changed.
I guess an important component of what happens and thank God I haven't had to deal with this, is fear. Forget every other kind of emotion. Fear must be a very prominent emotion that people feel, because if in the usual construct of marriage, the man is the breadwinner, and at least over the last 100 years before the last 20 years. And so there's this question of how am I going to support myself and deal with the kids and whatever.
I have to tell you, Neil, as you said that, I have no recollection of having fear. Yeah. My recollection was being numb. And I had the background of being a therapist, so I knew what I was supposed to do. My husband was diagnosed with a terminal form of cancer that was a death sentence. And I knew that I was going to have to deal with that. However, the real thought to me is, so what does it mean when somebody dies? What does it mean when they're dead? And I had great difficulty dealing with that. But basically, when the person died, I was numb. I was in shock, even though I anticipated it. And I was very anxious. The anxiety is the anxiety of separation.
So what did you do?
What did I do? I put one foot in front of the other and took one day at a time. I had a huge support system, lots of good people, and I just did one thing at a time. It's really treading water. I remember walking into a grocery store and shopping for the first time that my husband wasn't there. And I thought, I'm buying for three. I no longer have to buy the foods that he liked. The people that I'm meeting in the grocery store will never get a chance to meet him or know him. It was an out-of-body experience in time.
And did you have young children then?
I had two sons, age 15 and 17. My oldest son was getting ready to go off to college. His father died his last week of senior year.
So there's another issue here is you not only have to deal with your own issues, but you have to deal with your children and help them.
I had to deal with my children and help them. But the most important thing that I remember and still remember today is I'm a single parent. I'm the only parent they have left. And I had to make sure that the choices and decisions I made in life had that fact so that they would know they still had a parent as an anchor.
And the emotional needs of the children, do they become more paramount to you when you're going through stress? Or how do you, you know, it's like when the plane oxygen masks come down, they say put your own oxygen mask on first, then put it on the kids. You know, if you're all depressed and numb, you have to also be the caretaker to your children, the caregiver to your children.
What I did was focus on very short-term goals. So my oldest son was going to go off to college. My husband died on Memorial Day in 1991. My oldest son was going to go to college in the fall. So having been a therapist, I decided that we needed to do a family trip to a place we had never been before as a family and regroup. And we did. We went to Canada. We went to Montreal and Quebec. And it was really cute watching how the children helped me make decisions as to what we would do. So I got a bed and breakfast, and my younger son saw it, and he said, "We're not staying here, Mom. See that place over there?" Which was the Sherry Frontenac, which is this huge hotel. He said, "That's where we're going to stay." But Quebec was safe. The children could be outside on their own, and I didn't have to worry, and that was great. It was a good trip, and it was a good beginning to reorganize. Yes, I was very keenly aware of my children's needs at that time.
So based on your research, based on your books, what are the first steps that a recent widow goes through, or should go through?
Well, if you want me to say what a widow goes through, I would like to say something about Kobe Bryant's widow.
Right, exactly.
She not only lost her husband, she lost a child. So that's a double or triple whammy. In addition to that, she's going to have a major issue to deal with later on. She has two very young children. And the youngest child will probably not have what in my field is known as an introject or an internal image of what her father was or who he was. So in order for her to develop and mourn the loss of her father, the widow is going to have to work with the child through pictures and videos to learn who he was so she can eventually mourn him so that she in adulthood can have a meaningful relationship with the man.
Obviously, in this case, it's less problematic because there's so many images of him. More to the point would be a normal person that whose father wasn't famous.
Well, I don't know. I think most people are taking pictures all over the place today.
But it, you know, you can't, you know,
with their phone.
Right. But obviously, it, you know, no one's going to lose the image of Kobe Bryant, least of all his own daughters.
Right.
You're listening to AHA Presents About Education on the Santa Barbara News Press radio station, and we'll be right back.
In 1962, Pierre Lafond founded the first post-prohibition commercial winery in Santa Barbara County. In 1972, he planted his first vineyard in the San Ynez Valley west of Buellton and later hired legendary winemaker Bruce McGuire to continue to build on the stellar reputation that Santa Barbara Winery has achieved for more than 50 years. Today, you're invited to experience the award-winning wines at Santa Barbara Winery at the corner of Yananali and Anacapa and the Lafond Winery at 6855 Santa Rosa Road in Buellton.
The Central Coast may seem laid back, but when it's time to work, no one works harder, including the bank that's grown up here. Montecito Bank and Trust offers customized lending and banking for all businesses, big and small. It's harder than offering one-size-fits-all solutions, but it's the right thing to do. And here, getting things right is a way of life. Montecito Bank and Trust. Behind every great community is a great bank. Montecito.bank. Member FDIC.
With some health providers, you get the impression that the final goal is profit. But Sansum Clinic is a nonprofit. Their final goal is health.
Sansum Clinic was started by doctors and is still directed by doctors dedicated to offering the very best in healthcare and healing for our patients.
A nonprofit organization where all earnings go back into continually improving healthcare for our community.
Your health.
Your doctors.
Your healthcare system.
Sansum Clinic. Good for you.
Santa Barbara residents interested in a four-year degree have more than one choice. CSU Channel Islands is a four-year accredited university offering more than 30 academic programs that are interdisciplinary, multicultural, and centered on you, the student. Your professors are accessible mentors who go above and beyond to help you pursue an undergraduate or graduate degree or certificate to advance your career. CSU Channel Islands is affordable and financial aid is available with campuses in Thousand Oaks and Goleta. Call CSU Channel Islands at 805-437-8520 or online at csuci.edu.
Welcome back to AHA Presents About Education. AHA, improving attitude, creating social harmony, bridging the achievement gap for teens. I'm Neil Kreisel, and we're here today with Deborah Levinson, a psychotherapist, clinical social worker, and author. And we're talking about the cheerful subject of grief and
moving on.
Moving on. So what do you do? Take us through the steps.
Well, first of all, grief never ends. You mourn somebody differently at different stages in the development process. My work showed that it was important to help people learn how to craft the next chapter in their lives. And there were multiple steps. Basically, there are three steps. The first stage is treading water, where you have whatever burial or memorial service you want, and then you just put one foot in front of the other. You deal with establishing a new routine, albeit imperfect. And the other piece about that is you have to deal with the estate, whatever that is. Even people with very little money still have to do things such as terminate their spouse's job or turn over retirement accounts and get Social Security benefits. The second stage is really a very different stage, and it's you're ready. There's a kind of routine that is established, and you're ready to kind of move forward, and you start by taste and sampling new things. And what you want to try and do is have different kinds of activities that you never did before. Go to restaurants you never went to before. Go on trips to places you never went to with your spouse. and start a new activity.
That's hard, though, because the fact that you didn't do it before meant it was even hard then. So that's really pushing it, isn't it?
It's pushing it. So you try and find somebody you can do it with and other single people that you can do things with. This goes for whether you're widowed or divorced. And divorced women say the same thing. Divorced men say the same thing. And divorced and widowers say the same thing. It's very hard to get started. How do you do it? You're facing a new chapter. And people are living much longer these days. So they have multiple chapters in their lives they're forming. So once you do this tasting and sampling and maybe doing something for yourself personally, like getting a new hairdo, redoing a room in your house, or getting a new outfit, you then have a fork in the road where you have to decide if you're going to really just stay single the rest of your life or if you're going to look to find a relationship. And if you do stay single the rest of your life, usually you use your adult children as your anchor, as Lynn Cain, the woman who wrote Widow many years ago, did. Until she died. Her daughter, her adult daughter, was her anchor. But those who decide they want a new life for themselves decide they're going to have to start dating. And that's not simple. That's really quite complicated. Because you see yourself as a sexual being, which you probably have not thought about in many years. And where do you meet people? How do you meet people? How do you know how to meet people safely? What do you do? And so there are many options depending on the community you live in. And the fail-safe is always asking friends to kind of fix you up. And then the method that you go about doing this is really very different. You always meet in a safe, neutral place. You never let a stranger come pick you up at your house. And you meet for coffee or a drink for an hour at a time and then decide whether you want to see the person again. And now, of course, in today's world, there are dating apps that are infamous that people use all the time. Some are successful and some aren't. But the key is when you are hurting and you're emotionally vulnerable, you're going to meet somebody at the same emotional level that you're at, and they're going to be emotionally vulnerable. So that first connection shouldn't be the permanent connection. Now, that's not always true for men, but it is true for women. And I've been doing this for a very long time, and I've seen it over and over again, where the first relationship you go into really needs to end.
That also ends, that also typical of just people breaking up.
Right.
They end up, the rebound with, just going back to the, we haven't gotten to the third step, but the first step, treading water, each religion has different rituals, and they're designed, I would imagine, to, among other things, to help the healing process. So, are those helpful? The various religious.
You're hitting a wonderful point, Neil. Rituals are important for decreasing anxiety. It's a rote motion that you do. The morning rituals are very important. Having a burial or having a memorial is very important. Also, in the Jewish religion, you have what's known as Shiva, and then you have Kaddish, where you say a prayer once a week and then once a month or every year for the person who has died. And that also is very helpful in helping people just focus on the here and now before they focus on moving on. It decreases the anxiety of separation and loss.
Well, you mentioned Jews, so I have to ask the question about guilt. What happens when you find somebody?
Guilt is worse in Catholic guilt than Jewish guilt.
Okay.
Sorry.
So all of us. So, but I imagine there's this sort of paradox where if you begin to find happiness, doesn't guilt come in?
Well, it's interesting, but that goes back to who's the most useful to be supportive. And at this point, it's usually friends, not family, because the guilt comes from family members, not usually friends. Friends are supportive and you're helping yourself move on with your life. Also, it's very interesting. I was a young widow, and there were many older people or young people who would distance from me because they were afraid I was going to try and steal their husband, which, of course, was ridiculous. And even my older neighbors were very funny about letting their husbands talk to me and give me advice. They were all good businessmen until they realized I wasn't interested in their husband. They said, in that case, he can come up to your house.
So let's go to the third, renewal and resolution.
Well, we're not there yet because there's this phase of dynamic growth process. So you have a relationship, and after it starts out and there are all these warm fuzzies, you let the walls that you built after your husband died to protect the ego, you let them go down. And you have feelings that you haven't experienced in years. And then what happens is when you have these feelings, you begin to see the warts on the relationship and the things that are not so good. And then you have to deal with breaking up. And then frequently a woman goes into a depression. And I always found that interesting. I asked, so why now? And then I realized why now is because you hadn't been feeling before, and now you were feeling, but you're not mourning the loss of this most recent relationship. You're really mourning the loss of your spouse differently than you mourned it before. And so what happens at this point is that you are in a depression, and you have to figure out what's going on. And this is where what we call intrapsychic change, which is really internal change in your emotional system, takes place. And you reconfigure who you are. Women define themselves by relationships. So in order for a woman to move on after the loss of her spouse, she must recraft that piece of herself, her own identity, that was defined by her late spouse. And I've watched this happen over and over again, where once the recrafting takes place, it's easier for a woman to have a more successful relationship with the new partner.
So you went through this, and I'm sure it was as stressful and traumatic as anyone could imagine, if they can imagine it. Why did you decide to go back into it every time you see a patient? I mean, you basically are, when you're speaking to a patient, reliving it every time. You dedicated yourself to a really depressing part of your life.
Actually, I don't find that happens, number one. And number two, my major practice was when I was practicing in Manhattan and still am. And my major practice is really helping young people make their lives work in New York and deal with issues from their families of origin.
I should have talked to you before I left 21 years ago. Maybe I'd still be there.
So what happened basically is when I'm called in, I've been called into some really very difficult situations more recently to advise and consult on very difficult situations of family loss. I don't find they push my old buttons. What pushes my old buttons are the nodal experiences that my children have had. Graduations from college that my husband wasn't there for, I would sob. My oldest son graduated from Penn and then did his master's degree at Duke, and I was so proud. My youngest son graduated summa cum laude from Yale, and I was very proud. And at all of these events, I worked very hard to have a huge support system around me so that we could all share. And they were people who had helped me continue to raise my children. And there's really a funny episode. I remember this older couple that was, he would say I was his fourth child. And he was sitting at the dinner table when the boys came home from college, and he'd look at my younger son and he'd say, "That credit card. You've got to stop spending that credit card." And he would look at the boys and he would say, "Your mother's doing a really wonderful job. You have to be very proud of her." Those are moments that you treasure. The other nodal events were the birth of my grandchildren. They've just been so special because each son has named their first child after my late husband.
And then there's the question of bringing home the new husband and how mature or defensive the children are. That's a whole other saga, which we'll get to when we return. You're listening to AHA Presents About Education on AM 1290 KZSB, and we'll be right back.
Celebrating 50 years of serving loyal regular guests and first-time visitors, the Pierre Lafond Market and Deli invites you to enjoy their huge selection of fresh-baked sweets, cookies, carrot cake, muffins, and the famous farm cake, granola, Oreo popcorn, wine cake, homemade soups, and the popular fresh juice bar. Or get a coffee drink or fresh-squeezed juice and peruse the famous wall of greeting cards at the Pierre Lafond Market and Deli. Open 6 a.m. to 8 p.m. daily in the Plaza del Sol, Montecito Village.
What's that?
This? The newest online business banking around.
Can you initiate wires and approve transfers?
Yes.
Pay bills?
Check.
Cash management?
Of course.
All business, all online, all on your phone?
You bet. My computer, too. It's Montecito Bank and Trust's new business online banking. It works as hard as I do.
Huh. Montecito Bank and Trust.
You got it. Montecito Bank and Trust. Behind every great community is a great bank. Montecito.bank. Member FDIC.
Sansom Clinic. We're there at the beginning.
And all the little and big steps along the way.
200 physicians for your every need.
A healthcare system where all profits go back into our community's health.
Your health.
Your doctors.
Your healthcare system. Your health.
Your doctors.
Your healthcare system.
Sansom Clinic. Good for you.
Santa Barbara residents interested in a four-year degree have more than one choice. CSU Channel Islands is a four-year accredited university offering more than 30 academic programs that are interdisciplinary, multicultural, and centered on you, the student. Your professors are accessible mentors who go above and beyond to help you pursue an undergraduate or graduate degree or certificate to advance your career. Programs and workshops in classroom, online, with campuses in Thousand Oaks and Goleta. Call CSU Channel Islands at 805-437-8520 or online at csuci.edu.
Welcome back to AHA Presents About Education. AHA, helping teens achieve goals, surmount challenges, stop bullying, and communicate and listen effectively. I'm Neil Chrysell, and we're here today with Deborah Levinson, psychotherapist, clinical social worker, and author. And we're talking about women's identity and what happens when a spouse dies. And we're talking about the three the model or roadmap that Deborah has put forth, three stages, I guess, of what you go through. Treading water was the first, pseudo-equilibrium. And the third is?
Well, the third stage is renewal and resolution, which comes after this dynamic growth stage, where a woman must go through intrapsychic change to successfully connect with the new and different.
So I have to stop you right there, since, and I've been in therapy for years. What does intrapsychic mean? Maybe I should get a refund. I don't know what that means.
Intrapsychic is the internal change process of your emotional system, where you grow emotionally and differently without your spouse as your anchor. And you learn to be more self-sufficient, more on your own, and you grow to a new and different level of emotional development. And you have to be anchorless, really, for a period of time. It's transition. And so women will, after they come out of this stage at a new and different level of development, will reconnect with another person, if that's their goal, to have a new relationship. And it's important to do two things here. Remember, this relationship is yours. It's not the children's step-parent. So you focus on developing the relationship with this person. And you are still the disciplinarian for your children. You're still the guide for your children. This person supports you, doesn't discipline the children. And what happens in renewal and resolution is you do a couple of things. One, you integrate the children into your new life, and there can be lots of difficulties here. Adult children do not always accept a new person to take their parents' place. And in addition to that, and also it depends on how happy that individual child is, whether or not they will accept a new person in their lives at this time. In addition to that, the final part of this phase is to relegate the memory of your late spouse to your history. And one of the ways people do this, and they do it in the first stage where they make contributions or donations or scholarships in memory of their late spouse, or plant trees or things like that. And at this stage, you do the same. The real question that a woman has at this stage to ask herself is the quality of your life, the structure and meaning of your life, qualitatively different than it was when you were married to your first husband. And I always tease people and say, if my first husband came back, he wouldn't recognize me because I'm now a blonde. Or he wouldn't recognize me because of what I'm doing. And especially living in California, which was never on my lexicon when I was married. I lived in Baltimore. I thought I would eventually wind up in Florida. Now I'm so grateful to live in Santa Barbara, which is paradise. So my whole world has changed. And I see that with lots of people who have new experience, whether widowed or divorced, in the quality of the relationship with their new spouse.
So we're talking about the new spouse as if it's a non-person, but that person could have lost his wife either through a disease or through a divorce, and comes with children, possibly, and comes with his going through some type of steps at that. And so you've got it's a multi-faceted problem because you're dealing with issues, and so is he.
You've got lots of baggage. And you have to learn how to deal with the baggage and the baggage that I had to deal with and my spouse had to deal with in integrating his family into our system was really quite amazing. But the thing that we had going for us, and I was very clear about it when I met my spouse, is all three of our children get along very well and are very parallel or equal in their own successes. And so it wasn't hard for them to integrate. They like seeing each other. They like being together. And they're intellectually all very smart, so they challenge each other.
But what if they're not? And what if, for whatever reason, the kids just don't like the new person? Is that a deal breaker?
It depends. It can be. And I know with cases where it has been. And then I know cases where the person let it be a deal breaker and then they regretted it because they didn't work to make it where they had a relationship with this person and then they had a relationship with the children. However, when a man and a woman get together after they've had widowhood or divorce impact them in their lives, they have to realize that they have to give the children lots of time to learn, to adapt to a new situation and be patient and have different focuses so that the focus isn't on trying to have an intact family. That never happens.
So you're an expert in this subject. What if there's a woman that loses her husband and has a therapist, and the therapist, is a good therapist but really does not have specific experience in this area? Is that sort of an issue that people face where they don't know who to go to? Sometimes
right.
they're going, to the auto mechanic when it's the boat broke down. is that an unfortunate reality in this world that people don't publicize? There's a person who specializes in this. There's grief therapy. There's places in Santa Barbara to go to if just as a matter of grief. But I don't know where they're advertising if a spouse dies what to do.
Right. This is very difficult. Many people don't know where to go, and there are experts that do this and work on this. The regular everyday therapists are more than happy and more than capable of helping people deal with their feelings and the issues. They may not be as targeted and focused as this model allows them to be. But that's why I've written three books. They're very practical books for lay people that clinicians can use with lay people. I've done a lot of teaching. I've done a lot of presenting around the country. And if you get stuck, there are some very special places to go for help.
So the three books are The Next Beginning, Stories of Renewal, and Surviving the Death of Your Spouse. You can get these on Amazon?
You can get them online, or you can connect with me. I have the books, and I'm happy to send them to you or sell them to you. I don't particularly work with Amazon that much these days. And the Next Beginning is the roadmap. A woman who used it used to call it her Bible. She would read each phase as she was ready to deal with it. There are lots of things that we haven't talked about here that you deal with. One, how to deal with having needs met, and things like that. Physical needs met. You don't have a spouse. You're not having sex. The need to be touched. The need to be held. These books deal with some of that. In addition, Stories of Renewal is a very wonderful book that tells you the stories of 12 others who went through these experiences and what they found worked for them. These books are useful all the way around, and people have found them very helpful.
And Surviving the Death of Your Spouse, the third book?
Surviving the Death of a Spouse is a workbook that New Harbinger Publishers asked me to write for them. So it's written in their form. Many people would like a workbook, but the other books are really simple reads.
So I would imagine, I don't know the reality of this, but does it make sense to actually give one of these books to a child who's, you know, maybe an adult child who is not really sure of what's happening with their mother, to let them sort of begin to understand?
No.
Okay.
What
are you sure about that answer?
Yes. There are many books for children on losing a parent, and there's a major research book that I've used a lot, and it's called The Handbook for Bereavement, and it's by Strobe and Strobe. It's an international book where it goes through the developmental stages of each child, each age group, and tells you how to deal with it and cope with it.
You're listening to AHA Presents About Education, and believe it or not, we'll be back with our final segment.
You're invited to dine indoors or on the secluded garden patio, the sunny patio, or the covered creekside patio with fireplace at Pierre Lafond's Montecito Wine Bistro, where you'll enjoy the popular pizzas and many other dishes from the wood-burning oven, daily specials from Chef Victor, and selections from the elevated wine menu featuring Lafond and Santa Barbara Winery wines. Open daily at 11 for lunch, wine, cocktails, dinner, incredible desserts, and a daily happy hour from 3 to 6 with very unique appetizers in the Plaza del Sol, Montecito Village.
The Central Coast may seem laid back, but when it's time to work, no one works harder, including the bank that's grown up here. Montecito Bank and Trust offers customized lending and banking for all businesses, big and small. It's harder than offering one-size-fits-all solutions, but it's the right thing to do. And here, getting things right is a way of life. Montecito Bank and Trust. Behind every great community is a great bank. Montecito.bank. Member FDIC.
With some health providers, you get the impression that the final goal is profit. But Sansum Clinic is a nonprofit. Their final goal is health.
Sansum Clinic was started by doctors and is still directed by doctors dedicated to offering the very best in healthcare and healing for our patients.
A nonprofit organization where all earnings go back into continually improving healthcare for our community.
Your health.
Your doctors.
Your healthcare system.
Sansum Clinic. Good for you.
Santa Barbara residents interested in a four-year degree have more than one choice. CSU Channel Islands is a four-year accredited university offering more than 30 academic programs that are interdisciplinary, multicultural, and centered on you, the student. Your professors are accessible mentors who go above and beyond to help you pursue an undergraduate or graduate degree or certificate to advance your career. CSU Channel Islands is affordable and financial aid is available with campuses in Thousand Oaks and Goleta. Call CSU Channel Islands at 805-437-8520 or online at csuci.edu.
Welcome back to AHA Presents About Education. AHA helps teens manage their emotions, support their peers, and serve their community. I'm Neil Kreisel, and we've been talking today with Deborah Levinson, author, trained psychotherapist, and clinical social worker, who, among other things, has been dealing with grief, and particularly involved in women's identities and how women deal with the death of a spouse. And what are the important predictors to know whether you're going to succeed?
There are multiple variables that impact men and women when somebody dies. One, the age they're at, the health they have, the developmental stage of life, the support systems such as parents or family and friends. But the two most important variables that predict successful adjustment is, one, finance. It's not that you're left wealthy, but rather that you have the capacity to maintain your financial situation that you had before your spouse died. And the second indication is your capacity to be resilient. We hear a lot about resilience. Resilience is what we need to be able to move from one developmental stage to the other and to craft one chapter and another chapter. And this happens when you're older. When there's one other piece that I want to mention. Bereavement and loss has been diagnosed in the used in the DSM-5, the psychiatric manual, for the first time ever, because bereavement was always thought to be normal. Now they're recognizing that it doesn't have to be normal, and now it can be a diagnosable thing, particularly in the situation of traumatic grief, where one spouse dies, particularly in old age, and the other dies within 3 months. And I had done a paper with the woman who was responsible for that diagnosis. So the capacity to be resilient and to bounce through difficulties is very important.
But, you know, that's like the catcher telling the pitcher to strike him out. You know, you have to have enough money and you have to be resilient. Okay, what if you don't have enough money and what if you're not resilient?
You struggle more. It's a difficult
struggle. Is it impossible?
No, nothing's impossible. It depends on the individual. Some people become hopeless and depressed, seriously depressed, and then they probably should see a therapist and get on medicine. And so that they can do things to rebound and have people help them, give them structure to rebound.
So when we moved to Santa Barbara, I asked the real estate broker about the community. I said, I'm retired, so I don't really have an economic question, but my wife is a therapist. This is such a nice place. Are there enough neurotic people here for her to get clients? And she said, not to worry. There are plenty of neurotic people here. So, you know, you probably could do all this work here. I mean,
right.
But you just want to keep it to low key, just to this women's group?
Well, it isn't a matter.
I'm getting at if somebody calls up, you know, and says they really need to talk to you. Are you seeing anybody?
I'm not licensed in California, so I am not doing therapy. I am licensed in New York, and I also do coaching and short-term advising. But I am not available to do week-to-week therapy, and also I'm past that stage. I am involved in consulting with some very difficult situations that have been useful, but they've been very short-term. I still go back to New York several times a year to see patients.
Okay, so as we wrap this up, then for those people that listen to this show and think that their resilience and their financial situation requires a little more help, the next best thing would be to go and buy your books.
They can buy my books. They can contact me, and I can give them suggestions. And they can buy my books on Amazon, or they can buy my books for me. And my email is Deb, D-E-B, Simon, Levinson, Levinson, at mail.com.
At Gmail.
At mail.com.
What's mail.com?
It's another
email
thing. And at mail.com, or you can get on Amazon. And if you find it difficult, I'm sure if you connect with Neil or the station, they will forward it to me. I'm there to give you input and whatever you need. And thank you for listening. I hope you found this useful.
Well, I did, and I hope everyone has enjoyed the show. You've been listening to AHA Presents About Education, and we'll see you next week.
It's 3.